And now,
Capital 263.
A celebration that caused a minor earthquake. Jose returns again, and local clubs are hiring chartered flights for their matches. It's Mike's Set and Match on a Friday, brought to you by me, Lizo C, and my good friend here, Josh. What's up, man?
I'm good, man. Yeah, welcome to Max and Match. Will be lovely to hear something you have to say about our show. Come on, guys, you've been quiet on us.
Yeah.
I'm here with Lizo in the studio. The studio is quite shaky today. I think we still feel the tremors from Barcelona.
All the way from the Camp Nou, the celebration that rocked the world.
Definitely, man. That was insane, man.
That was real crazy.
From 4-0 down in the first leg to turn around the match to win 6-1. That was insanity.
It's pretty insane. What we have today on the show, we have review of the Champions League and Europa League fixtures that happened this past week. We are also going to look up to the FA Cup. Jose returns again, and our local side, Caps United, who are in the Champions League, are traveling to DRC, where they will play TP Mazembe. So first up, we have Barcelona and the referees. Barcelona and the referees are so like two and two. They go together, you know.
But it's not a Barcelona thing. It's a football thing. We see these mistakes week in, week out. But unfortunately, in this case, the kind of match that was there, the intensity, the level of which you expect the referees to be in such a match, to see some of the mistakes being made like that was just terrible refereeing, man.
It was poor refereeing, but some school of thoughts are saying this has been consistent with Barcelona over the years. It seems like the referees have an agenda against everyone else playing Barcelona in the Champions League.
But I can also pick out other clubs that have benefited from poor refereeing.
E.g.
Real Madrid in the league recently, when they got a couple of penalties towards the end of the game, a couple of dubious penalties, let me clarify.
But it seems like it's happening more with Barcelona than
let me tell you what happens. When you're a big club like Barcelona,
mm-hmm.
You tend to have more for the fans against you than with you. So when these decisions happen to benefit you, they allow their voices, unlike clubs like Real Madrid, with which people tend to sympathize with more because they hate Barcelona. I can also cite, even in the Premier League, we see this happening. During the Ferguson era, Man U benefited from this kind of decisions week in, week out.
So you agree that Barcelona are benefiting from this?
No, every club benefits.
But you picked out Sir Alex by himself.
It's an example, because I can even tell you, this is instances where Chelsea itself, my team, benefited from dubious refereeing. And I can point out instances where Chelsea suffered because of poor refereeing. For example, if you still remember, Chelsea 3-0 at halftime against Man U. Second half. You still remember that game?
I do.
Torres red card.
Yeah.
Ramirez red card. Still Man U failed to break down Chelsea. And then a dubious penalty was given. So I think it's part of football, really, because If you look at Real Madrid, the game that I was talking about, I forgot who it was against, but Real Madrid was 2-1 down, or mm-hmm. 2-0 down. They scored one, and they actually went to win the match 3-2 because they got two favorable decisions towards the end of the match. You see, and Ramos handled during that game, and the penalty was not given. So if we look at the Barcelona game,
uh-huh.
and I ask you which decisions we're wrong. Which decisions did the referee get wrong?
There's so many questions.
Tell me and I can explain some of
these. The Suarez dive being the biggest issue.
There's no two ways about
it. The referee cheated.
That was not a penalty.
The referee cheated?
Yes. No. Cheated is the wrong way. The referee got the decision wrong.
A Mascherano handball in the penalty area?
That was not a handball.
What was it? He was sliding.
Opinion,
he stopped the ball going forward.
Listen.
Yeah.
The rules of the handball rule is quite clear in what it states. Mm-hmm. It states that the first instance where a handball is given is when a player moves his hand towards the ball in an effort to block it.
Mm-hmm.
That is handball. Number two is if the hand is in an unnatural position and it blocks the path of the ball.
Are you saying that Mascherano position was a natural position?
For a player who's sliding down, That is a natural position.
Keep your hands away from the penalty.
So how do you
find a way?
So these players can't tackle anymore. That's basically what we're saying.
Tackle with your feet, not with your hands.
He didn't tackle with his. He tackled with his feet. The player turned him.
He was turned.
Yes.
And it's advantage to the player with the ball. Yes.
But unfortunately, he's in Australia.
Exactly. So he should be punished.
So how did he, was he supposed to remove his
hand? Unfortunately, he should be punished. Those are some of the decisions.
The third instance where hand was given is your hand might be in an unnatural position, but if you do not have enough time to move it away from the path of the ball, it's not a handball.
We may need verification on that because it's an unnatural position, and you don't have enough time to remove your hand. For example,
Chelsea vs Swansea.
Uh-huh.
The ball was struck and it hit Azpilicueta's arm, if you still remember. And the justification, even the panel that analyzed the matches after that, was that he had no time to remove his hand from where it was. So what I think is there are a lot of gray areas with some of these rules, especially with the handball. There's a lot of gray areas.
So UEFA's rules are helping Barcelona.
They're not helping Barcelona. they're helping every football team. Because like I said, Chelsea benefited from something similar. So now it comes down to the discretion of the referee in the game. And unfortunately, if the referee says it's not handball, then it's not.
Is it time to have the television match official included in football? It's worked in cricket. It's worked in rugby. So far, no complaints. Everyone's happy about it in cricket and rugby. Is it time that it's included in football?
I wouldn't want to see television officials introduced because...
Why not?
Football for me is more of a game of momentum, you know, and having players stand there for 2-3 minutes waiting for the review. And, you know, already they do not play replays in the football field, like on the TV.
Yeah.
They play it in real time.
Uh-huh.
And they do it for a reason. You don't want that controversy in the middle of the game and whatever. It disrupts the flow of the game.
But it's controversy to who is going to help players who are aggrieved.
But what club can say it has never benefited from dubious refereeing?
I don't think there's any club that's never benefited from dubious refereeing.
It's not prominent.
It's prominent.
Because you don't like Barcelona. That's why. Do you like Barcelona?
No, I do not like Barcelona.
Do you like Real Madrid?
I do not like Real Madrid.
Why are you lying?
I promise. I'm not a La Liga fan. I'm just a Man United fan. That's all I am.
Do you admit that Man United has benefited over the years from dubious refereeing?
Sometimes, yeah.
Most of the time.
Sometimes
especially
we
during
have.
The Ferguson era.
Sometimes we
then
have.
Then you would get extra time.
No, the players are just delaying intentionally. And they want to blame
always,
Ferguson.
There's always the justification. But yeah, anyway, in the case, unfortunately for PSG, the refereeing decisions didn't benefit them. And I also feel like the PSG players weren't concerned about it. Because if you see a couple of decisions going against you and you do not complain to the referee.
They didn't know.
PSG in their mind, they had already finished the match and they're like, whatever. You know, you saw Cavani wasting chances. You saw Di Maria. He could have passed the ball across the 18-year-old to Cavani. Yeah. He was fouled in that. That could have been a penalty. But none of the PSG players even appealed for it. They just stood and they were like, yeah, but we already won. They really didn't care.
Above and beyond, PSG lost that match to themselves.
They really did.
4-0 first leg and losing.
Scoring away goal and still
lose.
You conceded 3 goals in 7 minutes.
That was terrible. With 4 touches, that was incredible.
4 complete passes, 3 of which were... was starting from the center.
That's really poor football from PSG.
They failed to, you know, when it was 3-1, I think even the Barcelona players were just like, this is over.
Yeah.
They were just playing the game to see it out and just to keep their fans, to show their fans that they're committed, and they just kept pushing. And then moment of brilliance from Neymar. That free kick was exquisite.
That's the Neymar I know. That's the Neymar I support. I'm a Brazil fan, by the way. So the
next thing, Suarez gets a penalty and Barcelona realized that was not a penalty. A penalty that was not a penalty. And suddenly Barcelona realizes we can actually win this. And they did. They wanted it more and they got it. You know, needless foul by Di Maria in the first place for the free kick that Neymar scored. needless foul on Ter Stegen that allowed Barcelona to win back the ball and play it into the box.
It was a combination of pressure on PSG's side and a bit of high belief on Barcelona's side.
Definitely.
They really wanted it more, and they went for it and got it.
Even which even when incredible. The game started, Barcelona was pressing very high up the field.
They really wanted that match. That was their Barcelona that we've always known. In the previous show, we had mentioned that we haven't seen much of that Barcelona side that we've come to know and understand.
And the whole world had written Barcelona off, man.
We also wrote off Barcelona. We thought at most it was just going to be maybe a draw.
Before the match, I was watching, I was on the UEFA site, and there was a predictor there. Uh-huh. And it was predicting by percentage which team is most likely to qualify. Arsenal was 5% likely to qualify. Barcelona was 0% likely. UEFA was saying there is no way. There is no way it can happen. And voila, they pulled a rabbit out of the head, literally. That was magical. That was just
incredible performance from Barcelona. And it's been said that the last goal, caused a minor earthquake in that city. It was a rapturous,
celebration.
Very loud
celebration. I'm sure it was pretty an intense night in the city of Barcelona. I'm sure most employees did not receive their employers in the morning.
Yeah.
After that match, because
Pique said something like 9 months from now, you're just going to expect babies.
They need to overstaff for nurses and midwives because a lot of love is going to be made.
And crazy. And some of the messages that are circulating on social media, one says, Barca coach, Caps United inspired us. Barcelona's coach Luis Enrique said their amazing comeback against PSG was mainly influenced by what Caps United did against Dynamos in a league match last season, where Caps, being 3-0, scored 3 goals from minute 85 to draw the match. Incredible. Some of the jokes that are going around on social media. That's crazy.
Definitely. It was just insane, man.
Talking about comebacks, there was another comeback, similar scoreline, Real Madrid against Napoli. Napoli scoring first, looking to have sealed the match. A real comeback building up, but only for Ramos to come back and bang in 2 goals, as he's always done for a while now, and retrieve Real Madrid. Do they look like they're going to retain the Champions League trophy? Are they going to be the first club to retain the first?
I've accepted that that's impossible, man. Like, there are teams that were at their peak that were just seemingly unbeatable, and they failed, you know.
Yeah.
There is something about the Champions League that you just can't retain. If there's a club that in the present pool that could, it's Real Madrid, because they've got a pretty strong record under Zinedine Zidane.
They do.
They seem to come back a lot in these matches. Most of the time they are trailing, and they end up winning the match convincingly, actually.
Yeah.
By a margin of 2 or 3 goals, actually. But the other thing now is, I think Cristiano Ronaldo is not the same Cristiano Ronaldo that could inspire the team when in the big matches, just the same way as Lionel Messi as well seems to be faltering. And fortunately for Barcelona, they've got Neymar who can step up.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Gareth Bale is not fulfilled his potential in that role of stepping up to fill the big boots when the team needs it.
I think the pressure is still there with Cristiano still at the club. It's really still kind of hard for him to be the main man.
But Neymar is stepping up with Messi in the team.
He needs that. You see, the balance with Barcelona is they've given almost everyone the similar, you know, responsibility. You know, that front three, MSN, they carry almost a similar weight. Although Neymar will come in with the assists more than the goals, but they sort of have that balance.
It's spread evenly across.
With Real Madrid, it's still Cristiano's show, supported by Benzema and Bale. Whereas if those guys get, you know, that sort of responsibility as well to say, you know, you really need to lift up your game and show up, even when Ronaldo doesn't show up, then maybe we can see Gareth Bale. But I'm still hopeful maybe in the next 2-3 seasons, once Ronaldo starts being phased out of the team, then you can start to see the real Gareth Bale standing out. Also, he's coming from a long injury.
Yeah.
You know, maybe
he's still finding his feet.
A month in, and it's still you know, baby steps.
But I would suggest that, you know, if I was in the Real Madrid dressing room, I would suggest that the limelight, the focus of the game, start moving from Cristiano, because he's not performing well. He's not performing at his peak, you know. He's not performing as well as we would want him to.
Mm-hmm.
And the more he fails to perform, the more the pressure, and the pressure tends to make players perform even worse. They don't perform well under pressure. So I think the pressure needs to be taken away from him. And, you know, he's still Cristiano Ronaldo at the end of the day. He's still one of the greats in the game of all time, in my opinion, top five.
Yeah.
And then nothing is going to change that, really. But the club has to reach a point where they realize that with age, with time, with fatigue and so forth, things have changed. He's no longer peak Cristiano Ronaldo. He has moved for that. And the club needs to adapt to that, you know. Mm-hmm. And because at the end of the day, as long as the pressure is still there, as long as he's still expected to perform as he did 2-3 years ago, nothing is, he's still going to fail, because it's just too much pressure, in my opinion. It's just too much.
Talking about pressure, are you in support of Wenger out or Wenger in? Maybe as a Chelsea fan.
For the good of English football, I think he should go. Because 5-1 in the first leg. 1-5. If somebody wrote down those score lines and asked you, what sport is this? You wouldn't say football. It's probably tennis. Yeah. It looks like a tennis score. 5-1, 1-5. And if they went against Bayern again, we probably have another one.
is it Wenger's fault or is the player's fault? What's wrong with Arsenal right now?
Okay, I think Arsenal right now has a very good crop of players.
Mm-hmm.
Balance wise, this is one of the best Arsenal sides that has ever come to light. I think the problem is the system that these players are playing under. You know, there's no shift in tactics. There's no, Wenger has outlived his level of coaching.
He needs to take a sabbatical, take a year out. You know,
maybe he should try another squad, because the thing is, he keeps trying the same thing week in, week out, and it doesn't work,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it frustrates the players, you know, because these are professional players. Probably, I'm sure they have a mind of their own where they're like, no, but Why don't we try ABC? Because when the season started, and Giroud was injured, and Sanchez was playing up front, Arsenal was firing.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that was a different tactic, you know, from the usual Arsenal wide play across the ball to Giroud for the header.
Yeah.
To direct football on the counter, Ozil with the through pass, with the pace of Sanchez, of Walcott, of Alexis, of Oxlade, and so forth. And then Giroud came back and Wenger reverted back to the old system and stuck with it. He's got Perez, who's a very good striker, mm-hmm. who he doesn't utilize. He's got the likes of Iwobi. He's got a very strong midfield, you know, and it doesn't make sense. That team has got quality players, you know, quality players who are capable of causing major havoc. And I just think Arsenal needs a new system. They need new blood. They need somebody like Allegri, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Luis Enrique, since he's leaving Barcelona, maybe they could exchange jobs. Or maybe Wenger can go to PSG.
Because I was thinking a bit of Diego Simeone. He's also having a bit of control.
Simeone is in a lifelong commitment with Atletico.
Not really. He's having some issues currently. Not really issues. He's having a think about his long-term future, weighing whether he should move, try something new, or stick at Atletico, where, you know, Barcelona, Real Madrid are just always going to be on top. And the task every season is just to try and outdo those two teams.
But I don't think Arsenal is the perfect fit for Simeone.
It's something new. It's different brand of football for Arsenal. And it should be something that's really different to what they're used to.
For
them to actually have that total shift.
Definitely.
Because this is going to lead us into our next conversation, where we've seen Jose Mourinho and Antonio Conte. Antonio Conte is taking a side that Jose Mourinho left. changes the system totally and look at where Chelsea are. Definitely. That's the sort of thing that I'm suggesting as well for Arsenal, where Diego Simeone with a different brand of football, you know, is coming in and just changing all of Arsenal apart, tearing everything that Wenger's built and building something new, really, you know, so that they can be able to compete for title or something.
I would suggest Allegri, Luis Enrique, because I was also going to think Ronald Koeman, but I hear Barcelona want him. So
yeah, former Barcelona boy as well.
That might be difficult for Arsenal to compete with Barcelona for his signature. But at the end of the day, I think Wenger must leave. I just think Wenger must leave.
It's time out.
Wenger must leave. The whole coaching staff must be changed, because if we're talking about changing a system, you need to uproot the whole of it.
Yeah, that is true.
Sanchez must go. I wanted him at Chelsea, but I don't want him anymore. He's got terrible attitude, in my opinion. He must just leave the club for the good of the club. Mesut Ozil must leave. Number one, he's just lazy.
Those are the big players.
Let me tell you. Sometimes, for the good of the club, because unfortunately, a club is not made out of two people. You know, the club is always bigger than the player, no matter how good you are and whatever. And it's not like you can't find somebody as good as Sanchez,
who's going to be willing to come to Arsenal
under a new coach.
I think
Allegri is the pool to pull some really good players. You've got the Lacazette's. Ooh, yeah. And he scored a screamer. My God.
What a goal he scored in the Europa League. Just quickly, in the Europa League, Manchester United drew against Rostov.
What kind of pitch was that?
Terrible conditions, man. But UEFA approved it and said it was an okay pitch. And the players were insured, apparently, so they could play on any pitch in Europe, since they were insured.
I also think something needs to be done about those kind of pitches, because
it's terrible for the players.
I looked at that pitch and I just felt like, man, this is not right. There's a lot of risks that you're putting your players in by playing in that pitch. But Man U played well. They got the draw, and I don't see any glitches there. I think it's gonna be an easy route at Old Trafford. Man U is gonna go through.
And talking about injuries, I'm sure you're kind of hoping some would pick up an injury, as it is Chelsea versus Man United on Monday.
Man, you know what? Let me tell you. Before anything else, I'm a fan of good football.
Okay.
I hate it when players, even rival players, get injured, you know, because it takes away the fun in the game, you know. Mm-hmm. I also want to be stressed when playing against Man U. You know, I want to see Paul Pogba on the field. I want to see Zlatan.
I'll just say this and put it on record that I wish Hazard breaks his leg between today and Monday, because boy, oh boy, that guy is back in form.
Man,
and when the fixture was announced, Chelsea versus Man United, I was pretty confident. I'm like, no, man, look at Chelsea and look at where we are right now from the last 4-0 routing.
Uh-huh.
You know, maybe perhaps you can pull a Barcelona.
You have improved. I think the Man U that lost 4-0 and the Man U that we're going to face are going to be two different Man United.
That is true. And I think the Hazard we faced in the 4-0 and the Hazard we're going to face is a different machine. Because the boy is improved. In the past month, he's just gone on beast mode. And
definitely.
He's one person I'm really worried about. He's going to be facing Antonio Valencia on the right. Unless if Mourinho tries to pull it 3-4-3, just like...
I actually think what Mourinho should do is he should play a 3-4-2-1.
Mm-hmm.
I think that suits Man United better. And he should, whoever is going to be playing wing back, and whoever is going to be playing the right side of the center backs, of the center three back, mm-hmm. they should try as much as possible to contain Eden Hazard for as long as they can.
Yeah.
Because the one thing that I know is that Hazard, eventually he will find
some sort of space, and he's done so many times against Man United.
To just try and contain him for as much as possible and hope your strikers find the goals. But in Stamford Bridge, man, it's gonna be Chelsea is high on confidence. You've got Pedro, I think,
playing his best football.
I would say he's better than the Barcelona Pedro even right now. He's just on a whole other level. You've got Hazard back in form. Diego Costa is back among the goals.
Yeah.
And I think the Chelsea defense, though, has been faltering lately. They've been letting in goals. They went for quite a long time without conceding any, but now we almost every game we concede a goal. N'Golo Kante, brilliant as ever. Man, that guy
what
is...
What a player. He's been one of the top players this season.
If he doesn't become the player of the season, there's something wrong with the system.
Initially, I was saying David Luiz, but he's gone off in the past couple of months.
Yeah.
And it's really looking like N'Golo Kante season.
Yeah,
if Chelsea go on to win the title, it's straightforward. It should be N'Golo Kante's title.
It should, actually. And yeah, but also on Man U, you've got Zlatan Ibrahimovic. He's been
who's going to be suspended against Chelsea.
Oh yes, he's got a red card. Yeah. Oh yeah. Let me just put it on record that I'm absolutely relieved.
That's a entire relief.
He's a huge threat.
Literally a huge one. That is true, and he's a bully against defenders. You know, he's experienced against these
matches.
But
now, still,
he hates Chelsea as well. You know, he's always played well when he's played against them for PSG.
Yeah, but at the same time, it doesn't take away the threat of Man United. You know, you've got the Martials, you've got Rashford, you've got Mkhitaryan.
I think that's what we're going to settle for: pace up front.
Yeah.
Try and hold.
It's going to be a very fast game.
Yeah, try and hold Chelsea and try to hit them on the counter. But your wing back system is really good against counter attacks.
It's going to be a game of pace, actually, because you're going to have Pedro, Hazard, Moses offering Chelsea some pace.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have Martial, Mkhitaryan, maybe Rashford is going to play.
The biggest issue is Rashford starting ahead of Rooney, or is Rooney starting ahead of Rashford?
I think Mourinho is done with Rooney, and Rooney is not going to start.
It's been tricky.
When he didn't start against Southampton in the final,
and
he was in an unused substitution,
you
call your captain to the sideline, and you tell him to sit down twice. The captain of the squad.
It was a bit tactical there.
But this is the captain.
Of course. Rooney is no longer a starting 11 player.
He's not.
Zlatan is out. You know, that's the issue. Right now, Zlatan is out, and
I see him. Okay, I see. Mkhitaryan, Rashford, Martial, Juan Mata.
I don't think Mata will start because I think the pace of the game is going to put him on the bench.
No, but you need those passes.
We're just going to try with the center three of Carrick, Pogba, and Herrera. Those are the three guys who are going to pass it.
Okay.
Then up front, maybe Rashford, Mkhitaryan, and Martial as our front three. I think that's...
So basically, we agree that Rooney is not going to play.
I'm not so sure yet in terms of the striker.
Okay,
he might start. He might not start. I think the surprise factor.
Yeah. Well, I hope he plays because I think he's no longer a threat.
But he's naturally done well. He has had good games even without scoring at Stamford Bridge over the season.
Class is just class. You know, and Rooney has been a good player throughout his career, and you can't take that away. You can't take away the talent. You know.
Yeah.
As much as he might not be as good as he was, but, you know, he's the all-time Man United top goal scorer, and you don't get there by being average.
Yeah.
You know.
So
I'm just hoping for a good match. That's all I want.
What are your predictions on the match?
I think Chelsea is going to win 2-1, for obvious reasons. But yeah, I think Chelsea is going to win. It's going to win 2-1. I don't know. What is your prediction?
For the sake of Man United listeners who are going to listen to this show, and for my head, I'm going to give it a Man United win. But in my heart, I think Chelsea are going to knock us out of the FA Cup.
Yeah.
We were good, but I don't think we are really good at the moment. Good enough
to beat Chelsea in Stamford Bridge.
To be able to beat Chelsea.
I agree with that.
Some stats were saying we haven't beaten Chelsea in the past 11 fixtures. Is it
either at
Stamford Bridge or in all competitions?
I think it's Stamford Bridge.
Yeah. So
it's gonna be a
mountain.
If there's a man to do it, then it's Mourinho. You know.
Yeah, I think he needed the backing up of Zlatan. It's Mourinho and Zlatan. But if it's Mourinho by himself, we're just gonna enjoy the match on Monday night.
Definitely. And in the other fixtures, Middlesbrough is gonna be at home against City. Arsenal is going to host Lincoln
Finally, a victory for Arsene Wenger there. I expect
friends of Lincoln.
Yeah, Lincoln's going to be out there to frustrate him, but I'm sure he doesn't want to be knocked out of the FA Cup after the season.
Lincoln pulls out something. That would be just terrible, man.
I'm sure by that then Arsenal terrible. Fans will just denounce everything.
Yeah, definitely.
Arsenal.
Yeah, but I see City progressing against Borough. I see Arsenal progressing against Lincoln. Tottenham is hosting Millwall. I don't see Millwall standing a chance.
Tottenham, it will be a very interesting semi-final with all these big teams if they progress.
And then looking at those teams, I can't even think of what team we'd want to face.
Yeah.
All of those teams are capable of anything, really. Even Arsenal right now, think they're down and out, but
I don't want to face Arsenal.
But you never know. They've got a good caliber of players, you know.
Yeah, they do, but confidence is one good thing. Their confidence is down.
Very, very low.
I think any team can take advantage right now. But even if Lincoln really wanted this one, they could go
I'd actually want to be at home against Guardiola.
Uh-huh.
I think we'd stand a better chance because this day.
Oh, yeah.
London derbies and whatever, man. These derby matches are crazy.
They're crazy.
And the FA Cup semi-final, these teams, though, they won't be playing. Especially Tottenham. Tottenham is in great form. Harry Kane is blazing. Dele Alli, they're just on another level right now.
And they've been one team to actually beat Chelsea this season in the Premier League.
They really have. So I wouldn't want to face them. I'm hoping they get knocked out by one of these teams in the semi-final. And Arsenal in the final would be good.
That'll be a good match, but that's the match that Sanchez always pops up and starts to play his beastly matches.
Yeah, it is, man. So that's something to look forward to the weekend. Check out the FA Cup. Saturday, Middlesbrough and City, Arsenal and Lincoln. Sunday, Tottenham and Millwall. And Monday, Chelsea versus Man United.
Yeah, and finally, a local football club has just chartered a flight to DRC.
They're playing in Angola.
It's DRC, TP Mazembe, DRC.
No, but I think I heard something about
playing in Angola.
Playing Angola because of instability in DRC or something like that. It wasn't confirmed, but I heard.
No, it's a TP Mazembe's home ground that should be in DRC.
Okay, yeah, it is in DRC.
But the guys are agreed that they're going to fly on the same day that the match is on, get there in the morning.
Is that a good idea?
They've said the conditions that side are, it's better off when you just travel, play and leave. That's what Hardlife, the vice captain was saying, that it's much better that way. You don't have to go through the psychological warfare that these guys always pull out. Put you in shady hotels kind of thing.
That's actually a good idea.
Rainbow Airlines has come and partnered Caps United. They're going to be flying.
Thank you to Rainbow Airlines for supporting local sport.
Yeah. Thank you. Local airlines, they're supporting local sport. They fly there. After the match, they fly back, so they don't have to arrange any sleeping arrangements or anything.
I think I'm just hoping that Caps United manages somehow to hold TP Mazembe.
It's going to be a crazy match.
It's going to be crazy because TP Mazembe is really good. It's a really, really good squad. And to be frank, Caps United, I don't think they're on that level yet.
I agree. I think it's a Warriors situation.
Definitely.
High so hopes hoping, in the media.
Yeah, I'm just hoping they manage to hold them. Maybe if they're going to lose, maybe just 1-0. And hope that they can turn it around when TP Mazembe comes for the return fixture.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I'm just that's basically what we'd be looking at. And I hope good luck to Caps United. Lots and lots of luck.
Yeah. All the best, boys.
Definitely. The luck of our father that survives so many so many
Josh,
years.
This is a sports show. That's the sport that we have for you on Mike's Saturday Match today. Thank you for listening. My name is Lizwe. Find me on Twitter at Lizwe C.
Yeah, and my name is Josh. Find me on Twitter at Six Legend. And Mike's Saturday Match is brought to you by Capital 263. Do check out their Twitter page at Capital 263 and check out some of the shows there. This is Mike's Saturday Match. Until next time, goodbye. And now,
Capital 263.